When you're over 50, you have to activate not just your muscles, but also the systems of your body. You have to go from like a pre-warm-up into a warm-up, into a post-warm-up, then into the full activity.
Hi, welcome to the Judy Terrell Show, where I explore topics intended to optimize every body, 50, 60, 70, and above.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Judy Terrell Show. I'm Judy Terrell. And this is my second series of six episodes that are addressing the needs of clients that are 50, 60, 70 and older that have anything to do with changing your body, optimizing your body and living your most ideal and highest quality life in your body as we age. So my second series, which is episode number one out of six, the theme that I am addressing here, and each episode will be one particular theme, is what do you need to do when you are 50 and older so that I'm a firm believer in advocation of exercise. I myself am a 10-time Ironman. I'm still competing in them. I'm 59 and only a few months out of becoming 60 years old. So I'm not only just in the 50 age group, I'm also now approaching almost knocking on the door inside of the 60 age. And I also have been a personal trainer and a aerobic and fitness and group instructor for literally four decades. So I have had a private practice since I'm 23 years old, and I have worked with all ages and populations. But once I turned 50, which is now almost a decade ago, I really started to niche myself in specializing in the 50 and older market. Why? Because when I was a 30-year-old trainer, I read the literature. I stayed up to date on the credentialing for, stages of life and changes that need to be done and what is the proper protocols and what's the sequencing is for exercise. What are the different types? What intensities? I had it all down. I kept my certifications in place. But when I was 30 and 40 and 20 years old, I was not living in a body that was 50 plus. And I am going to tell you that because I now have been living one for, like I said, 9 years, almost a decade, and I train people and work with groups and design exercise programming for all ages, but specializing in 50 plus since I myself turned 50, I can tell you that I know that there are things that you need to do that are going to be a little bit different at this stage of your life, 50 plus, that you didn't have to do when you were 20, 30, and even 40 in some cases, but you most definitely have to do 50 plus if you don't want to get injured doing something that is, recommended and very good for you, and that is exercise, cardiovascular exercise, strength training exercise, even yoga, Pilates, and muscle pliability type exercise. All those things are great. All those things have wonderful, health and longevity benefits to them. I am an advocate and a program designer for all those types of exercises. But I'm going to tell you that if you are over 50, there is something that you need to do no matter what workout you're doing. And I would also venture to say first thing in the morning before you get out of bed, because if you're like me now at 59 years old, even though I'm a fit female and I work out on a regular basis, and like I said, I'm still participating in Ironman level triathlons, I get out of bed in the morning and it feels like someone took the oil out of the Tin Man. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, I have a lot of clients that, once you're over 50, I will tell you this, what time of day is best for you to exercise? Most people get very tired by the end of the day. They're still in the workforce. They still have children at home in their 50s. And so if you wait till the afternoon, you're most often the time you're very tired and you don't want to do the workout. So more and more people that are 50 plus are resonating towards getting their workouts and their trainings done in the mornings. And in the morning is what people over 50 are feeling, just like I said, I feel. You get out of bed and you feel like someone took the oil and all the moisture and the length out of your muscles and your joints, and everything is stiff. So my first episode right here in this second series of my podcast, and the theme is, what do over 50 people have to do, men and women both, so that you can continue to exercise, but do it in a way that's appropriate for the stage of life that you're in, 50 plus. The first most important modification or consideration that I'm giving you for today's broadcast, the most important one, is that you must do I'm going to use two terms here, dynamic stretching and or same term, but said differently, muscle activation before you do your main workout, whatever that is. Now, I'm going to get into exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm going to give you two scenarios from my client base to illustrate what I'm talking about. So I have one client, Ironman level triathlete. She is in her early 50s. And on a Saturday morning, she went to take a boxing class, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. The warm-up was being done. And part of the warm-up in this boxing class is what's called a boxing shuffle. You're standing on both feet. You kind of do this like kind of back and forth, kind of, you know, like dancing, kind of like bobbing and weaving kind of thing, but you're forward and back on your feet. Okay. So there's a velocity and a almost like a little jumping activity in there. And that is the first thing that you do as you're kind of getting like the low level warming up, the first stage of the workout. Well, this client strained a arch in her foot because her feet had not been activated for the beginning level part of the workout, which was then going to advance to more intense. And for the next 8 months, we had to work around this arch, which is a muscle strain, while she was trying to train for her next Ironman event. 8 months. Okay. That's how long it took. And even then after that, we still had to be very careful because the muscles in her feet, and she had, you know, some sort of like, you know, that was her area that was ready to be pulled. Everyone has a different area. But the boxing involved this bobbing and weaving kind of forward and back motion on your feet, and her feet were not muscle activated to get ready for the beginning part of the workout, which was considered a warm up. Okay. Another scenario. I have, this is not just one client, but many clients that will go to some of the organized franchise workouts that are available both online and also in brick and mortar buildings. And this is actually a client of mine who is talking to me about his wife, who is an avid runner, and she went to a program that involved sprinting on treadmills, high intensity intervals on rowing machines, and then strength training in like a circuit. Okay. And the first thing, and depending on, you know, your group that you're assigned, you either start on the treadmills, you start on the rowers, or you start with the weight training. And this particular incident that was told to me, the woman was starting on the treadmills and she's a runner. And it was a morning class, by the way. And the first thing they did was they started jogging. And then within, I don't know, 90 seconds, you were guided by the, you know, instructors to get yourself up to your red zone and hit like a sprint. This woman would hit that and she was like breathless, like well beyond what she should have been for that type of activity, because she is a, you know, conditioned runner. And she was struggling with this. So she asked her husband, who is my client, to ask me why this was happening to her. And what do you think what I thought she should do? And I said to her, through her husband, I said, I'll tell you exactly what's happening, because she was over 50. I said, she is not ready for that level of activity. I go, and you're 20 something, you can jump on a treadmill and within 30 seconds be right on your stride, which is your anaerobic threshold. Okay. But when you're over 50, you have to activate not just your muscles, but also the systems of your body. You have to go from like a pre-warm-up into a warm-up, into a post-warm-up, then into the full activity. And these box programs, these general programs, are not building that in. They're building in warm-ups, yes, for 20, 30, 40-somethings. But as you're a 50-something and beyond, you need dynamic limbering and muscle activation, and then stage one, stepping up of your systems to get up to a level that will get you ready for the warm up. Because our bodies are just, you know, they take longer to activate, okay? On both a muscular joint level and a systems level, all right? So, what I'm addressing today is what is called dynamic stretching. Okay. Now, I have many clients over 50 that are learned and they follow the internet and they're staying abreast of the information that they need as an over 50 athlete. And they'll tell me over and over again, they'll come to me from another program or, you know, they're doing that program as part of my programming for them as to what they can do. And they'll say to me, you know, I pulled something. I didn't feel it when I did it, but like the next day I went to get out of bed and, you know, my hamstring was totally strained. I was limping to get out. My lower, I felt great during the workout, but then the next day, my lower back seized up on me and I got stuck, you know, and I couldn't get up from a half bent over position as I was putting on my socks and shoes. And that's how it'll happen. You might not feel it during the workout, but it'll be the aftermath after everything stiffens up and the blood flow recedes out of those muscles and things get, you know, cool down again. So dynamic stretching is not this. All right, let me go backwards because I missed my point. So I have many clients that come to me injured with muscle strains and joint pain. And they'll say to me, and I don't understand why, because I stretch all the time. I know I have to stretch. All right. So here's the first thing I want to differentiate. Stretching is great, okay? And there is two types of stretches. There is what we call static stretching. And static stretching is what you think about when you think about stretching. Static stretching, for instance, I'll demonstrate here in something you can see in this window, is if I bring my arm up, bring the hand behind, bring my hand, and then stretch over this way. I am now stretching my tricep, and I'm taking it to a maximum range, and then I'm holding it there in that maximum range, stretching that muscle. Other common ones are, you know, hamstrings where you're bring your leg up on a bench and then you lean forward and then you hold it there. And that is called static stretching. And that type of stretching is very good. You want to do that. But you do not want to do that at the beginning of a workout. Two decades, three decades ago, we used to do static stretching. And even, well, I don't want to get off my topic. We used to do static stretching before we would go out for a run, before we would do our group exercise classes, before we did any other activity. And the research started to show that people who actually stretched were getting injured more during their activity. All right. So then there was a big thing. Time magazine had a whole front page article, stretching bad for you. Blah, do away from it, with it. But what we have now subsequently learned is that it's the type of stretching. If I took my body and I got out of bed in the morning and I was getting ready to go run and I put my leg up on the bed and I leaned forward to stretch, those muscles that have been dormant all night long and in a 59-year-old body that's lower hydration, older tissue, less pliable, it can be pliable, you know, you can get it pliable again, but when you don't move it for a period of time, like overnight sleeping, the tissue tightens up more than they did when I was 20, okay? So if I put my leg on that bed and I stretch the hamstring and then I went out for a run, what happens is you stretch that muscle fiber and the muscle fiber, if it could talk, would say, whoa, I wasn't ready for that. And then it actually tightens up to avoid getting pulled. And then that tighter muscle is what you are now going out and starting to jog in that state of that muscle. So what happened was the static stretching. And not that static stretching is bad. It was where it was placed in the workout sequence. Okay. So static stretching, you want to do, but you always want to do that after the workout or maybe later in the afternoon when you've been moving around in your day, then you could do some static stretching like right out the gate. But you always want to do that type of stretching, which will enhance muscle pliability, which is what we need as we get older. But that is not what I'm talking about in this first episode of what 50 plus people need to do at this stage of our lives, you know, in the exercise to avoid getting injured and to be able to hit our optimal, you know, bodies, create our optimal bodies. So the second type of stretching is what's known as dynamic stretching. Okay. So dynamic stretching, just like static stretching, is where you're taking muscles and you're taking them to their fullest range of motion, the joints and the muscles through their fullest range of motion. Like I can't lift any higher than this. This is a full extension, you know, for my tricep, my lats, like in this position. Okay. But what dynamic stretching is, it's not taking it up. It's not going to its full extension and then holding it. It's actually starting with a smaller motion. So I might reach up halfway and then rhythmically moving. Okay. It's almost like you're massaging the tissue and the muscles and then little by little getting bigger and bigger after you're doing like 20 or 30 repetitions, no weight, just your body weight, just gravity. And then, but you're warming. It's like you're doing an internal massage to the muscles and you're getting them activated. Okay. And not activated in just a small range of motion, but through their entire, you know, the range of the muscle tissue and what it's capable of and the joint like full extension versus just going to there. Okay. So dynamic stretching is what has to be done before you do warm-ups, before you do the less intense phase, before you do the full intensity of the workout. Okay. It's like another extra step. And I'm going to use a metaphor here because we all will understand this. Like if you live, I happen to live in Albany, New York, which is upstate New York, and we're just coming out of our winter, but everyone has been in a cold weather climate, at least for a couple of days of their life. Well, most people, 99%. And so if you have leather seats in your car and you go out into your car in the cold and you get in and you sit down on those leather seats, the leather seats are brittle. They feel like they're going to crack. You know, there's just no pliability to that material. But then you put the car seat heater on and you put the heater on the car. And within 5 minutes or so, the fiber of the leather has now been warmed. Okay. And now it is pliable. And that metaphor is what I want you to stick in your mind right now as to why you want to do muscle activation, i.e. dynamic flexibility, dynamic stretching prior to you doing a warm-up, okay? A warm-up is designed to get the core temperature up and get that warmth through your body and get your systems going, kind of like the treadmill woman I just talked about. You know, you want to do something that's like a slower level jog or a brisk walk before you start to do a light level jog, before you get into a sprint, okay? That's a system warm-up, but that is not muscle activation, dynamic limbering or stretching. Okay. What that is taking the actual muscle fibers and taking them through their ranges of motion, small into medium into larger in a rhythmic fashion, which is warming them up. But the warming them up is secondary to getting them to go through their fullest range of motion in a way that's not going to damage them by going right into one right away. Okay. I hope that makes sense to you. I'm going to illustrate for you right now what some dynamic stretching or muscle activation things might look like. All right. And now before I do that, though, I just want to give you one more clarification. And that is, so let's say you're going to go and do a swimming workout. Okay. If you're going to do a swimming workout, the dynamic muscle activation that you do, you want to address the muscles in the firing pattern, the muscle activation pattern of a swim. All right. So, you know, to do a warm up where you're going to do tricep dips isn't necessary, or, you want to do the dynamic limbering that's going to mimic the activity that is to follow, because you're going to take the muscles through that muscle firing pattern. Oh, I got a good one. Golf. You know, you're not going to do a warm up that you might do for, like a weightlifting class when you're getting ready to go play golf. You've got to do like twisting motions through your torso and some shoulder activation, because when you take your club and you do your swing, you know, you want to warm up this muscle activation, dynamic limbering in the movement pattern that you're going to be using in whatever the activity is that's to follow. Again, to use an example, this is a recent client came to me, 50, upper 50s, taking a group exercise class, you know, from a very good instructor who's 30 years old. And the warm-up involved what's called bear crawls, okay? Bear crawls, if you don't know what they are, you're on the floor, you're on your hands and your feet, and you're taking your right hand and your left leg, and you're as crouched down as low to the ground as possible, like almost like you're trying to go under a limbo pole and get under it without hitting it, and then you're walking like a bear, okay? This woman pulled some muscles in this workout, and she's coming to me to find out how I can help her. And I said, listen, I go, if I did a bear crawl as part of my muscle activation, and that was the first thing I did as the warm-up, it's not the muscle activation, because this person, the leader of the class, was doing it as a warm-up, not recognizing that there had to be some muscle activation to get a 50-plus person ready for that warm-up movement, okay? I said, myself, I'm a fifth female, 59 years old. If somebody, I walked into class and someone said, let's do bear crawls as the warm-up, I would laugh in their face, because the body, my body, especially in the morning, is not ready for bear crawls unless I do muscle activation, dynamic stretching. You know, somebody else was telling me that they had a client, their trainer was getting them ready to do standing deadlift and squat work, and they had them on all fours doing like donkey kicks and a bunch of things, you know, for the hips. Now, right concept, it was dynamic limbering, okay, muscle activation, but it's not weight bearing. They were on all fours on the floor, not standing. So that is not going to get that person ready for when they have the weight standing up with, you know, a deadlift, you know, barbell or dumbbells in their hand, weighted, and then the muscles have to be ready for that weighted movement standing, not on all fours, with gravity coming at them a whole different angle. All right. So point I'm trying to make is your dynamic limbering, your muscle activation, not only does it have to take you from a small into a medium into a large range for what that those muscles are capable of, it also has to mimic the movements that are going to be following in your workout, all right? When you're 20, 30, and maybe even 40, although I have a lot of 40-year-olds where I'm going to put them in the 50-plus category when it comes to this, and 20-year-olds for that matter, but that's a different subject. I'm addressing 50-plus. If you are 50-plus, dynamic muscle activation, dynamic limbering must be done. So my client, before you do any of the workout, my clients that are going to programs who are 50 plus who come to me because they're injured, I say, okay, listen, before you leave your house, this is what you're going to do. Okay. And then I show them a limbering routine. And then you go and do the warm up that they're doing, but you're ready now for the warm up. Okay. So now what does dynamic limbering look like? Okay. I'm going to give you I'll show you a couple examples right here. I'm going to take my chair with me so I can use this as a couple when I need a little help for balance. Okay, so dynamic limbering for the shoulders and upper body might be something like this. 10 shoulder circles going backwards, and then 10 shoulder circles going forwards. And then I might do a medium range elbow lift, circling. And then I would do it on the other side. And then I would go into a full range, all the way up. Notice there was a progression there. And I'm going to do it forward and also backwards because this joint has multiple planes of movement. I want to warm it up in all the planes of movement. And I would do the same thing on this side. Now, if I was doing something for golf, I would do in some twisting motions. You know, I might have someone put their golf, you know, club over their shoulders and then do some things like this and some things like this. You know, but again, notice I'm not taking it like this and holding it. I'm having them do this rhythmic motion. I have them do smaller first and then get deeper as they go. Okay. If they didn't have the pole, I'd be, you know, they're a golf club. I'd have them add arms up. Okay. Now, but getting into the hips, people are doing activities that are cycling, biking, all sorts of walking, you know, anything like that. Boot camp kind of classes. You know, you want to do some things where you are actually, you know, not with the weight, but if I'm going to do squats in a class, I'm going to have somebody do some squatting. If I'm going to do deadlifts, Romanian ones especially, I'm going to have them do some, you know, dynamic limbering for the back hamstrings, okay? In addition, a dynamic limbering through the hips might look like circles, because now I'm opening, I'm working on the what's called transverse plane, okay? Where I'm going in an out, open out motion. So anything that's going to involve some kicking or stepping out to the side, if I'm warming up a tennis player, I want them to do this kind of dynamic activation, you know, crossover swings. Again, starting small when you first get out of bed in the morning or at the beginning, and then you get bigger as you're going through your 20 or 30 reps of this. And then forward back for my runners and cyclists, warm up, dynamically warm up and muscle activate the hip flexors. Again, this is not, I'm not trying to like swing all the way up and do a like rocket high kick, okay? Because that would then, of course, you know, cause a muscle injury. You're taking it progressively, small to medium to large movements, but they're not, there's no resistance on them. Like I'm going to add, you know, again, if I was getting someone ready for a weight training program, then they're going to have dumbbells or kettlebells or something weighted in their hands. And even before they get to that, then they might, you know, I would have them do that kind of workout, that kind of muscle activation I was just showing you, and then have them go to do the warm-up where they might be ready for bear crawls. And maybe not. You might have to edit the bear crawls, but that's going to be another episode. But again, to summarize now, so if you're 50 plus, I want you to work out. I'm an advocate of working out. I'm probably an excessive advocate of working out. We got to move more in this country. We don't move enough. But if you're not moving enough, and even if you're somebody who's exercising hours a day, you still don't think you're out of the picture here, because I'm one of these people. I exercise hours a day because I'm training for Ironmans, However, I always do muscle activation, dynamic limbering before I do anything else. And I will do it multiple times a day if I've stiffened up in between things. If you're sitting for an extended period of time, you could have done a workout in the morning, but then you get up from your chair, you know, it's like, oh my God, who took, you know, the oil out of the Tin Man? Get up and do some of the limbering things that I just demonstrated. Okay, so 50 plus people, the number one point that I want to make for how to keep yourself exercising 50 plus so that you don't get injured and that you can achieve optimal, you know, ideal well-being and fitness and athleticism for until you pass through this realm. Muscle activation, i.e. dynamic limbering, which is not the same as static stretching. Static stretching is good, but needs to be placed at the end of a workout or later in the day. This is dynamic limbering, moving, massaging the muscles and the joints from the inside, small to medium to large, getting ready for the warm-up. Awesome. All right, so now I will give you a little hit if you stayed with me till this point in this podcast. On my YouTube station, if you scroll through the videos I have there, you're going to find one that says dynamic limbering. It's literally 3 minutes. It's from head to toe. It's small, medium, and large. It's the shoulders, the torso, the hips, the pelvis, front and back, knees, ankles, feet, all that. 3 minutes. Follow it. And then you can use that one as my gift to you for watching this podcast. And I'll tell you this, once you've done it 3-4 times, you don't have to watch anymore. It's the same thing. You don't have to do anything different. You just have to do it consistently. So go check that out if you haven't already, and subscribe to my station if you haven't already. And this is podcast number one out of my series of 6 for how do you need to exercise? What are some of the key points that are different for a 50 plus person at this stage of your life when it comes to exercise? Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you'd like to have access to some of my additional resources, I can be found at Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on my website, www.judyterrell.com.